The reaction to my announcement allowed me to return to my regular routine with a new sense of freedom. Though I still struggled to appear smooth while at work, Mike Flaherty, after all, didn't have PD. I no longer felt pressure to hide my symptoms the rest of the time. Now I could choose where and when to medicate, and do it for comfort rather than camouflage. Without my even realizing it, my whole system of symptom management changed. I began to see that being off in a public situation was really only a problem if I found it troublesome, if it kept me from doing something I wanted to do. If not, then being off was downgraded to the status of mere inconvenience. My tremoring, shuffling, and dyskinesias might earn me second looks from people, but what the hell, I was that guy from TV, I was used to getting second looks. So what if the second look now might mean, oh, that's right, I heard he has Parkinson's. With my PD out in the open, negotiating my responsibilities while finishing out the 1998-1999 Spin City season was significantly easier than it would have been had I remained closeted. Whether people knew or didn't know, however, made no difference to the disease, and my symptoms continued steadily to worsen. Even without the burden of maintaining a false front, the stress of the job was still considerable. And by the beginning of April, when the show wrapped and we all went off on hiatus, it was clear that I was in worse shape than when we had begun production the previous August. In preparation for the next season, we made some changes, hoping to lighten my load. One of them was to film the show on Tuesdays instead of Fridays. That gave me a nice 2-day rest in the middle of the work week. In June, as usual, we assembled the producers and writing staff to hash out story ideas for the next season. The writers would develop these over the summer months and have them in script form by the time we returned to work in August. It was at one of these meetings that I suggested introducing a new cast member, someone with a certain amount of notoriety who could take some pressure off of me. My partner, Danelle Black, mentioned Heather Locklear, erstwhile femme fatale from both Dynasty and Melrose Place. Tracy and I had shared a table with Heather and her husband, Bon Jovi guitarist Richie Sambora, at the Golden Globes a few years back, and I remembered them as funny and relaxed dinner companions. She'd be a home run for us, I told the Spin City writing staff. True, she hadn't done a sitcom before, but I didn't think she'd have any problem with the comedy. After all, Melrose and Dynasty had been so campy, they were just a laugh track away from being sitcoms anyway. So the offer went out, and we were thrilled when she accepted. The move paid off, and in the end, I believe, it secured the future of the show. Still, even with Heather on board to carry many of the storylines and handle much of the publicity work that had previously fallen to me, I realized early that autumn that my days as an actor on a weekly television series were nearing an end. It seemed that no matter how many concessions I made to my illness, it was never enough. The disease continued to take its toll. I could still get the job done, but I found that most of my time off the set was now spent resting, girding myself for the hurdle of the next episode. More than ever, the energy it took to perform my job well robbed me of the opportunity to devote time to the other interests of my life. There just wasn't much time left for my family and for what was becoming a growing involvement in Parkinson's advocacy work.